Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Dick Girardi, the great man himself, sir, welcome.
Steve, thank you, sir. How are you?
Doing well. I would like to point out on the Derby segment we did that my man here got everything right except for the mage part.
Yeah.
I mean, really, listen to the segment. He got everything right except for Mage.
Yeah, unfortunately, Steve, the only problem was Mage won the race.
Yes. So,
but I hear what you're saying. I knew Two Phil's going to run well. He did. Angel of Empire, obviously, it's hard to dislike him, so he ran well. But I didn't discount Mage. I mean, I certainly had ability. I just thought it was asking maybe too much too soon, but clearly it was not. He was really good, and he got it done at 15-1, and he will not be 15-1 this Saturday.
No, he will not be. So what plays in your mind about a – he is a lightly raced horse, right? Lightly raced. And not only is he lightly raced, he's now asked to do it 2 weeks later. Does that play at all for you or not?
It doesn't. Because if you think of recent history, Steve, the Derby winners that run well in the Derby, and I certainly thought Mage ran well, almost always run well on the Preakness. I just can't come up with a reason why the horse won't run well. I mean, I'm not going to bet him. I'm not betting him at 6-5 or 8-5 or 7-5. That's just stupid after he was 15-1 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And, I mean, all his other races had been spaced out nicely. And as you said, it's only going to be his fifth lifetime race. But if he has the talent in his third race to do what he did in the Florida Derby, do everything but win, and then come back and win the Derby, he's obviously a very talented horse. So he can win. If he comes back, if he runs the race he ran in Kentucky, he probably will win. It's hard to imagine anybody's going to run that much better than he ran there. But having said that, the Kentucky race was kind of a perfect setup. They went really fast. Some horse was going to come from the back and win, and Mage was the horse that did it. That's not what's going to happen Saturday. Unlike Kentucky, where we go from 18 horses to 8, there's very little obvious early speed here. So therefore, the pace that Mage is going to get is going to be much less quick than it was to not set up his closing run. I would think he'd be closer this time. I mean, he was 15th. Obviously, can't be 15th in this race. But I could see him like 5th or 6th after a half a mile, maybe 5 or 6 lengths behind instead of 10 or 15 lengths behind. So if he can have that same run, he can win. But I am not picking him, and I am not betting on him.
Right.
I will bet on my man, who is reappearing under the Triple Crown scene for the first time in 2 years. I would be referring to Mr. Baffert, who has won the Preakness 7 times, going for a record 8. And I can assure you of one thing. He is bringing 4 horses on a weekend. He's got the favorite of Black Eyed Susan. He's going to have a couple favorites earlier in the Preakness card. I think he's going 4-for-4, Steve. I think he's going to win them all. And I think he wants to let everybody know, I'm still here. Don't forget about me. I'm back, and I like National Treasure
I was just about to say National Treasure.
Yep.
He's got Johnny V aboard National Treasure.
He does. Johnny V's won every big race there is in the history of the world except the Preakness.
That's right.
He just missed 3 years ago when Authentic lost to the Filly. I think he's got a tactical advantage. He's got the rail. They're inside, speed. Only other horse with speed is his horse Coffee with Chris, the Ford. I just don't think he's remotely of the same caliber. And when I went back and watched all of National Treasure's replays and then watched his recent workouts, this is a horse he's like the freshman that hasn't figured it out yet, but like now he's a junior and he's starting to score on everybody. I just think he's a horse who's ready to blow up. They're putting blinkers on him. He's had blinkers on before, but I just think this is the time. I mean, he's run some really good races. He's been behind some very good horses. I'm thinking Saturday is the day for National Treasure to just Let's put it this way, Steve. If they're on a backstretch and Larry Comas on NBC is saying, and there's National Treasure up by three and cruising, I will not be unhappy with the circumstances.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting about this horse. He was third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Yep.
And he's only raced five times with one win. But that goes to your point of he's figured it out. And, you know, and he was fourth in the Santa Anita Derby, I think, in April, correct?
He was. He missed a previous prep race with a little bit of a bruised foot, similar to what Forte, the Derby favorite, had.
Yeah.
So, again, watching the workouts, knowing how Baffert operates, and this horse clearly has ability. It's just a question of them figuring out how to get it. And, you know, when you watch his replay, Steve, all the way through, after they hit the wire, this horse often is just getting started. Yeah. And listening to what Johnny B says, he says, look, he runs in spots. He'll run, then he'll slow down, then he'll run. If we can just get him to run the whole way, there's no telling what he can do. I certainly could be wrong. This might not be the one where it happens. It's going to happen. I think it's happening Saturday.
Yeah. The fact that it's an eight-horse field, does that help a horse like him in terms of like the ability to get out of a gate, find a spot, and go from there?
100%. Yeah. No, I mean, if this was an 18, if he would have been in a derby with these exact past performances, I wouldn't have liked him at all.
Right.
Just because the nature of that race is such that if you don't get early position in certain circumstances, you're in trouble. That's why, you know, the horse I picked, Two Phils, ran such an unbelievable race. He was the only one out near the early pace that was around at the end. Mm. He was the best horse at a derby, just didn't win, unfortunately. The other four horses that were up near the pace in the derby finished a combined 120 lengths behind.
Yeah.
Two Phils finished one length behind.
Yeah.
But, yeah, National Treasure, this is the one. It's an eight-horse race. There's only one horse with any other early speed. Coffee with Chris, I just don't think it's good enough.
Yep.
And if National Treasure doesn't get the lead, say Coffee with Chris does, it's not like he can't win. But my preference would be for him to be out there loose on the lead. And the only race he did win was his debut, and that's how he won.
First Mission, which just happened to be the son of Derby and Preakness runner-up Street Sense, is a Brad Cox horse who has won his last two starts. What's your thought on him with Saez aboard?
He's solid. He's going to be the second choice. He's 5-2 in the morning line. Won the Lexington on the 15th of April. Could have come back in the Derby in 3 weeks, but he had the points to get in. But you know what, Steve, on the second, he didn't even actually have the points to get in. But Cox didn't. He had four horses already in a race. So immediately said, we're going to the Preakness. Each of his races has been solid. I thought his last race was really good. The horses that he beat, Arabian Lion is a Baffert horse. He's been running on the Preakness undercard. And Disarm finished fourth in the Derby. So it's looking like that's a pretty good race. So I think First Mission is, if he wins, it will not be a surprise. I mean, there's a few horses that they win. I go, that can't. That's not possible.
Right.
Like Chase the Chaos can't win. Coffee with Chris can't win. I don't think Perform can win, although I think he's going to get fed a little bit. So to me, there's five that could win. I'm not Blazing Sevens could win because it's Chad Brown. I just haven't seen it yet from him in 2023. But yeah, that First Mission is the obvious second choice behind Mage.
All right, Black Eyed Susan. Okay, so with Flavian Pratt aboard, Faiza has not lost. And this horse is 5-5, and it is a Baffert horse. That's a heavy lean for you, right?
Yeah, has not lost, probably isn't going to lose this race. As I said, I think Baffert, he has three in Saturday. Hold on a second, three or four in Saturday. Baffert, Saturday, where? He has three in Saturday in the Black Eyed Susan. Steve, I think he's gone 4-4. I think he's going to win them all.
And you get no money on this horse. It's going to be this horse is going to be a heavy favorite.
She's listed at 7-5. I think that would be a gift in the 12-horse field. I think she'll be even money or less. As you said, undefeated in five starts. Her last race was her best race. I mean, she was awesome. She would have been in the Kentucky Oaks, but Baffert was suspended by Churchill Downs for 2 years. He's now eligible to go back, but that's Pimlico's gain. And the owner, Michael Lund Peterson, is a Maryland guy. He lives out in Moncton in Baltimore County out in Horse Country. So they are gearing up for this one. I think Baffert actually stays out there with his owner when he comes to town. And again, this is the first time Bob's been on the Triple Crown season since 2021 Preakness. So I think he is just coming. He's not coming to run second. Let's put it that way.
No, I think he's. Yeah. I think he is showing up to prove a point.
Correct. 100%.
So back to the Preakness. I always do this with you: the ability to play it out. How do you play it out with eventually the great National Treasure getting his opportunity at the end?
Yeah, I'm gonna play him on top. Probably of some exacta, Steve. Potentially, I could bet him to win. I'm going to play in the Preakness contest. So, you know, where I am in that contest relative to the other people will determine exactly the kind of bet or bets that I make. But look, I certainly think Mage could run second. You know, 1-3 is going to probably pay like $20 for two. 1-5, Red Root 1. If you think everybody chasing National Treasure is going to get tired, that could come in and pay like $35. Mm-hmm. 1-7 Blazing Sevens is possible. Certainly 1-8 First Mission is, it could happen. It could be one of those four, and then just sort of gauge the prices. But like I said, Chase the Chaos, I really don't know what he's doing in this race. Coffee with Chris is going to chase National Treasure and get tired. And I hope Perform gets bet. He's got a sensational trainer. Shug McGee is one of the legends, but this horse is completely overmatched. He's got no chance in this race.
Yeah. What about the pace of this race? What do you think the pace of it will be? I mean, Mage ended up winning the Derby at, 201 or something like that.
Yeah, Steve, I don't think very hot. The Derby, they went faster than I thought they would.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised at how fast it went. There's no reason this should be super fast because National Treasure and Coffee with Chris are the only two with speed. And the one I learned this a long time ago. Coffee with Chris is showing speed in Maryland. National Treasure is showing speed in California.
Different.
There's a big difference because California horses are trained for speed.
Yep.
If you're anywhere in the vicinity of a pace out there, you're going to be a lot faster when you come east. But I don't think he's going. National Treasure is going to have to go that fast. And Johnny V's good at everything, but he's especially good at getting horses out there on the lead and finding a way to get them comfortable so they finish.
Any thought on track condition and what that means in a race like this? Because every once in a while, this is the kind of, if it gets a little wet there, it can get like that. Although it looks like Saturday is a possibility of a few showers there. Does that mean anything in this race?
You know, it wouldn't to me, Steve, unless we had some crazy like downpour. Remember the American Pharoah race? We had like a monsoon like 20 minutes before the race. It was crazy. So I'm looking at Baltimore for Saturday, low 56, high 76. I see 50% chance of something. I just don't know what that means. Like that could mean showers for an hour at 8 a.m.
Right.
It just doesn't have enough clarity yet on what that is. But, I don't think it wouldn't change anything I like, but, it's just one of those things. You don't know the answer to who's this going to help or hurt. So I'd rather not have to deal with it.
Right, yeah, I wouldn't rather have to deal with it either. What is it about California? You talk about the speed part. Is it just the breeding part where they're just bred for speed, or is it how they train them?
It's how they train them, Steve. Historically in California, it's been just we're going all out, all the way, and good luck for you to keep up. And it's kind of always been that way in my memory. So, yeah, therefore, I mean, like Baffert and Lucas are probably the two most prominent West Coast trainers of the last, quarter century.
Yeah.
And that's how they train. And they both came out of the quarter horse world where speed is everything. California, it's very much about survival of the fittest. And you go as fast as you can, as far as you can.
Obviously, at the Derby, there was a couple scratches late, including the favorite. We know that there were deaths at Churchill Downs. We know at Santa Anita they've had trouble with it. How much is the sport plagued right now by something that appears on the surface to be mysterious?
Yeah, so 2019 winter, Santa Anita, was that's when it really came to the fore. It was just a nightmare out there. They had horrible weather. The track, by all accounts, is they weren't able to maintain it, and they probably should have had a lot more cancellations than they did. There was a racing office there at the time that was insistent on running horses, even when trainers suggested, I really don't want to run. So therefore, as you pointed out, they had this plethora of horse breakdowns and subsequent having to euthanize a lot of horses because of the injuries. But to their credit, Santa Anita and all the tracks that First Racing, the Strana Group, owns, they have done a phenomenal job in the last 3 or 4 years of changing that. The protocols have changed. The incidents are down dramatically. They've had entire Santa Anita beats where they didn't have a single breakdown.
Right.
So that's been great. But as far as what happened at Churchill Derby Week and the week before, I don't have a great explanation for it, Steve. It's just bizarre. I mean, one horse who actually was pointing for the Derby from New Mexico broke down after a workout. There were four others that broke down during races, including two on Derby Day. And then there were two that mysteriously just died after a race, not injured.
Right.
And so there's not, other than the two that died mysteriously, were trained by the same guy and owned by the same guy. There's no pattern to any of that. Why it all happened so dramatically there, I think they're trying to figure it out, but nobody's got answers yet. But yeah, it was brutal. It was terrible for the sport, obviously. I mean, it's the biggest week of the year, and that's what people are talking about. And I get it. It's a story, and it shouldn't have happened, and you wish it didn't happen. I wish it never happened, but, you know, for those of us who have had pets, there are times when the pets
can't
make it. You have to make hard decisions. It's brutal. And horses are similar in that way. The biggest problem when they get injured, like have a leg injury or something like that, is they're not good patients. You can't tell them, hey, you know, we're going to put a cast on your leg. Go lay in bed for a month.
Right.
It just, it doesn't work out that way. And some of those injuries are so severe and the horses are in such pain that, you know, they do for the horses what we do for our animals. It's just the way it is. 1,000-pound animals, 35 miles an hour, you know, with legs thinner than ours, they will get hurt. The good news is lately the incidents are way down, but yeah, that was very unusual and obviously incredibly untimely for the sport.
All right, so finally, let's just revisit. You want to handle, you know, yeah, I realize you're going to be in a contest, but the basic, how do you want to handle this on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going to probably play National Treasure to win, and I'm probably going to gamble a little bit and hope it's a 1-5 with Red Root 1.
Yeah.
I like Red Root 1. I think he's a good horse. I don't think he can win. And this is the worst kind of race for him because there's no pace and he comes from a million miles behind. But my favorite thing in the sport, Steve, is to bet a speed horse loose on the lead with a horse who's coming from last or near last. Because these other horses at some point, like Mage and Blazing Sevens and First Mission, are going to take a run at National Treasure and I hope get tired.
Yep.
And if they do, maybe it's a 1-5. And of the exactors that I mentioned, that's the one that's going to pay the best.
Well, DJ, thanks so much. Appreciate it.